All right. Well, good morning. My name is Ron. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome online if you're here as well. It's good to be with you guys as we continue through and our talks about our sermons and our teachings about the Holy Spirit. There are moments when prayer feels really easy for me. I know exactly what to ask. I know what I need. And I definitely know what I hope God will do. But there are other seasons where prayer feels very elusive. For many of us, it can be in various forms where I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. It's from a diagnosis, maybe. It's from grief. Some of you are experiencing that even now. Often it'll be from anger, fear, all the typical things, financial pressure, broken relationship, loss. Often it can be unanswered questions that I have, some of them even around God and how he works and his ways. It can be some unexpected experiences that we're walking through. And sometimes it's just because we're exhausted. It's tired. There's a lot of questions that go on, maybe like you experience. I'm assuming this is probably a lot of our experience, but they go on more in here. Sometimes they come out in various forms. Why me? God, throw me a bone. I don't know if you've said things like that. Maybe that's the nice way to say it. Which usually leads to, if it's why me, what did I do wrong? Which has that underlying place of why do, I don't deserve this. God, where are you? Can be the cry often of people, myself included. And suddenly in that, concerning prayer, I don't know what to say. It's overwhelming. I become frozen. Sometimes that struggle is guilt. I should be praying more. I should know, on a personal level, especially with pastor connected to my name, I should know what to say. I don't want to freak you out. You might say, I'm always telling you to come up for prayer. Now you don't want to come. That dude don't even know what he's talking. Maybe if I prayed better, God would answer. I don't know if you feel that way. And quietly, we begin to believe that weak prayer means weak faith. Not because we don't love God. So I think I've said this multiple times. A lot of these aren't because we don't love God or we want to follow him, but because the struggle, the pain, it's much deeper than words can truly express sometimes. And maybe you've been there. I don't know if you feel like that. Maybe just for a moment, do you feel any of that? You sit down to pray, because we're always telling you to do that. We teach a class on it. And instead of eloquent words, you're silent. You're lost. Or maybe there's tears, frustration. Or maybe honestly, for a lot of people, there's just nothing at all. I don't even feel like God's present. So the question becomes, we kind of kick it off in your notes, you can think about it, how do I pray when I don't know what to pray? Well, David understood this tension. Many of our folks in the Bible did. Look at Psalm 38, 8 through 9. I highlighted some words for you to just maybe connect with concerning your own relationship with prayer or God. David would write, I'm exhausted. I'm completely crushed. My groans, and key on that word, we'll come back to it, come from just horrible, hard, broken, anguished heart. You know what I long for. Lord, you hear my every, and then think of that word, sigh. David says, I'm exhausted, I'm crushed, I'm groaning, and God, you hear my sigh. Sigh is not even, I think it's more than, it's not words, it's a deep breath. And it's just more of an experience than it is a verbal connection or something you would say. Sometimes prayer, it's not sophisticated. It's not all perfect. Sometimes prayer is that very thing. It's hard probably for you to think that this is true, but it's a sigh. It's sobbing. Sometimes it's just silence. And apparently, when you read scripture, and I know we teach it and my own experience in it, apparently God is not shocked by that. This is not something that he's offended by. He actually seems to appreciate that when you share it with him. Because the good news today, I think one of the parts of good news in here is not to pray better. The good news is you do not pray alone. The Holy Spirit is involved. In God's story throughout scripture, we see this. One scripture this past week really struck me, just to kind of lead into this and get us thinking concerning the Holy Spirit, was Acts 15:28. They said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And we just stop there for a moment. It doesn't matter what it was, but the early church understood that something, they had something that we often forget, that the Holy Spirit is not distant. And we've been talking about that for weeks and trying to, man, encourage all of us to embrace that. What we see is he participates. He guides. All the things we've been walking through, he helps, he empowers, he speaks. And in this case today, the big word will be he intercedes. He is our intercessor. He's not merely power. Last week I was in the kids ministry. It was awesome. It was Pentecost Sunday. Brent was preaching in here. I was up in the kids helping out. You should help out in the kids. They need a lot of help. I am not the one to do it. Okay? But we talked about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I felt like as a pastor with these kids and seeing how they needed it was to highlight with them, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a superpower that God has. We are actually talking about God himself. For he is not merely power, he is its presence. And one of the most comforting things that I am discovering is that he prays for us. Here is our founding scripture, our foundational scripture, Romans 8:26-27. Romans 8, fantastic chapter to read on all of this. But here it is. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, Paul writes to the Roman church, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with, here it is, groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit then pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Man, there's a lot of beautiful principles in there. Notice Paul does not say, if we are weak. He says, in our weakness, what he is implying and saying is, it's when we are weak. Which means this, that weakness is not a failure. Weakness is part of being human. And the Spirit does not shame weakness. Paul says the Spirit helps us in it. Actually says that God knows it. And in light of that, the Holy Spirit pleads for us in harmony with God's will. This is not distant understanding. Like he's out there. This is this divine, beautiful help that is with us and in us. And this matters. In Romans, Paul, he's not just teaching us about prayer. He's going much deeper. He's revealing how God meets us in weakness. He shows us in Romans 8 there and throughout Scripture, why do we groan? What's going on here? What do we need to know to be helped? How are we helped? And what are we then invited into? When we come to the end, there's a couple invitations for us that we need to embrace and understand. So number one in your notes, we groan because we long for what only God can make whole. The Psalms, Romans 8, you'll see it more again. Throughout the whole Bible story, the story of God, there is this repeated word, groaning. Here's a simple paraphrase definition that groaning is the soul's cry when pain and longing run deeper than words. Groaning is the soul's cry when pain and longing run deeper than words. The biblical writers and original language would almost describe it as a laboring through sorrow. Anger and suffering. It's not merely the sound of suffering. It is the language of longing for what only God can make whole. Like there is something much deeper. Earlier we read in Psalms, David said, I'm exhausted. I'm completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. There's something deeper that he is experiencing. Paul expands this out. It's really awesome. So jump up to verse 22 and 23 in Romans 8. And Paul writes this, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Like we could pause there. Watch the news. And it feels like that is happening right now. The whole earth is groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers, we also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Amen. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Paul says something very important in there, very remarkable, that creation groans, that believers groan. But notice the groaning is not hopeless despair, it's a birth pain growing. As I told you, it's a laboring of something deeper happening. It's not death throes, it's labor pains. It's not longing for escape. It's longing for restoration. We long for healing, peace, and wholeness, and home. And astonishingly, in here we see that the Spirit enters that groaning through compassionate intercession. We read the Holy Spirit enters our weakness and he carries it before the Father. This is powerful. God's not disconnected from your suffering. Spirit enters it. And we know that feeling. We expressed it earlier. It can be exhaustion. It can be crushing sorrow. Many confusion. I mean, it seems like every week I'm talking to someone who is experiencing that and in a sense groaning because they're exhausted. It doesn't feel like God has shown up. They're crushed with the brokenness and sorrow that they're experiencing. And it becomes a confusing place where the enemy wants to come in and man, capitalize on that confusion. But beneath all those emotions, there's deeper longing. That's that groaning. For healing and peace and wholeness. And I said, home, for something more, something greater. And we see in there that God knows every sigh, all the heartache. And if all of our prayers falter, if weakness is really real in us, who carries us then when we cannot carry ourselves? Well, Paul will write, and scriptures teach us, number two in your notes, that we need an advocate who stands with us and pleads for us. So Paul actually says we need this. And scripture would teach us this. Maybe one of the greatest stories, if you want to read on suffering and this whole experience and that groaning, is from Job. He felt the tension in response to this overwhelming suffering that he was experiencing. In chapter 16 of Job, verses 19 and 22 through 22, he says, "Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me, but I pour out my tears to God." And look what he says. "I need someone to mediate between God and me as a person mediates between friends. For soon I must go down that road from which I will never return." Like, he actually says, I have to go down a road that's going to bring all this in and experience it. I need a mediator to help me walk through this. For I pour this all out to God, and I need someone. I need help in this. And that cry runs throughout Scripture. We need someone to stand with and for us. Suffering can make us feel so alone. I think that's the other thing. When you start talking to people, you realize what they're going through. A lot of what they're feeling is they feel alone in it. Does anyone care? Does anyone see me? And even more, does God even care? Like, our weakness sometimes makes us wonder if anyone understands. Most people will start some way, in some form, that way, I should say. Like, they'll come to me, and there's an expression that no one understands what they're going through. Like, in this entire history of our world and our existence right now, no one except you is actually going through this. It's not true, but it does feel that way. Prayer can feel lonely. Suffering can make us feel alone. And weakness, again, can make us wonder if anyone understands. So Scripture has been teaching us, I believe Brent started us off concerning the Holy Spirit with week one, and somewhere we've been repeating this over and over again. It is a foundational principle that says Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they teach us you need an advocate. The word was a parakletos, an intercessor, which means one called alongside to help. Scripture describes both Jesus and the Holy Spirit as our advocate and intercessor. Intercession means to plead or ask on behalf of another. It's one who we see stands in the gap. It's one who stands with us, standing up for us when we cannot stand ourselves. It's someone standing for the Holy Spirit within us, knowing what we do not know, seeing what we cannot see, and then does what we cannot do ourselves. And then we see in there standing for us, pleading on our behalf. Throughout Scripture, God raised up intercessors. I mean, there's just a long list of them, but the big famous ones would be Abraham. We read about David, the prophets. But every human intercessor always points to someone, something greater beyond themselves. And this is where the gospel becomes very present and powerful. So in your notes, number three is this, that Jesus intercedes above us and the Holy Spirit intercedes within us. And let me tell you what I mean. The gospel tells us that Jesus intercedes, not merely did, but he does. In 1 John 2:1, there's a bunch of verses. Let me read a couple of them. 1 John 2:1, the writer writes, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father." Who is he? He's Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. In Romans 8:34, again, Romans 8, later on, who then will condemn us, Paul writes? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And you know what he's doing right now? He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Hebrews 7 will remind us too that he lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. Jesus did not stop working after the cross. He continues his priestly ministry. Because of Jesus, we have access, we are forgiven, we are welcomed, we are represented before the Father. He intercedes for us in heaven. That matters. Because condemnation will always tell us that you're alone. And the deeper problem is that we feel not only we're alone, but we got to take care of the sin and suffering ourselves. You're alone in it. You didn't do something right. God is punishing you, whatever comes up for you. But Jesus says, I am pleading for you. And here's that beautiful connection. Jesus did not leave us with distant help only. The one who intercedes in heaven, remember we've been learning this, sent the Holy Spirit who intercedes within us. John 14:16-17, one of our foundational verses as well, says this, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him. Why? Because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jesus calls the Spirit another advocate. Same heart, same ministry of help. Not replacing Jesus, but continuing Christ's help among us and in us. Let me repeat then Romans 8:26-27 again and then give you what I believe to be a very powerful reminder. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The Spirit helps us. This word means to hold together with. He does not watch, he joins, he intercedes, he speaks for us with groans, not random emotion, but holy compassion. He aligns prayer with God's will. He prays perfectly. This is very profound comfort, very important to remember. Sometimes our prayers are confusing, but the Spirit's never are. Like, I don't know if it makes sense to you, but there are times where I must sound to God just like I sound to my wife or to all of you looking at me right now. Like, I don't know one thing that you just said, Ron. You are not making sense. And sometimes when it's backed with strong emotion or fear or anger, it really is a mess. And in this, when I bring that to God, what I am learning is the Holy Spirit can take care of that interpretation for me. He translates my tears, my silence, my fears, my anger, my pain, my unfinished sentences, which I am notorious for, into perfect prayer. Have you ever tried to explain something so painful that you can't even use your words to do it? You can't even find the words. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit is not waiting for perfect vocabulary. He's like a divine interpreter taking what we cannot fully say and presenting it perfectly to the Father. Not merely translating language. He's translating pain and all these things into prayer. A small child does not need perfect words to be understood by a loving parent. I watch some of you with your kids and I might come up and try to talk to them and I don't understand their language and they're telling me something and I don't know one thing they just said to me, but the mom especially knows exactly what they said. sometimes a child can simply cry and the parent already knows exactly what they need. Our Father is not confused by your weakness. The Spirit, hear this, does not stand over you grading your prayers. That was a good one. I'm gonna go B plus on that, Ron. Okay? That one right there was a F minus. It was really bad. He stands with us carrying them. In your notes, you'll see this statement: the Holy Spirit bridges the gap between our weakness and God's will. Sometimes prayer can feel like standing on the edge of a canyon, knowing God is good, but not knowing how to cross that distance between our pain and His will. And Romans 8 says the Spirit bridges what we cannot. Paul is not changing subjects. He's deepening the same promise. Here is this very important principle that just leads into that next verse that is often quoted and pulled out, but is very powerful when connected to the previous verses. It's Romans 8, 28. This is where it begins to make sense for me. We often quote it alone, but look, it follows the intercession of God. Romans 8, 28. In light of the previous verses, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Do you see what the Holy Spirit does for us? That means I can know when I don't even know how to pray, but I bring it all to Him anyways. It says that then I can know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who, and I love God, and are called according to His purpose for them. You know what the missing link is? It's us bringing all of this groaning to God. Paul says, well, we know. Well, how can we know? Because Jesus is interceding, because the Spirit is praying, and because the Father is actively working and listening. So I know that even though I don't know, I know that You'll take it all together and You'll work it out for Your good for me. This does not mean, hear me, okay, you must hear this. This does not mean that everything is good. So it doesn't mean, like, if we wanted, for example, a few million bucks for a new building, that we just gotta do it and we're gonna get it. And put that into the category of whatever you're praying for. It means that God is at work within everything. Though everything is not good, He is at work within everything. And the Spirit's prayers are part of that work. So when I cannot trust myself, I trust Him. When I can't see, I understand that He sees. When I cannot or do not know how to pray, then He prays. The key is bringing that to God. Or, as we lead into this for a moment, getting others to help bring it as well. God's comfort is never meant to stop with us. Intercession received becomes intercession offered. So number four, because God intercedes for us, what happens in us is we become people who stand in the gap for others. Oswald Chambers said this: Jesus Christ carries on intercession for us in heaven. The Holy Ghost carries on intercession in us on earth. And then we, the saints, have to carry on intercession for all men. It's not merely comfort, it's a calling. And I was telling the folks in prayer before the service that I know that there are giftings for some people that they're just incredible intercessors, like the kind that I go to. My grandma Swanson was one of them that I go to and say, will you just put, I need you to just put me on your prayer list and I need you to never take me off, okay? But we are all called to intercede too. We learn to do it. Throughout scripture, God gives us this picture when he raises up intercessors. I mentioned some earlier, people who stand in the gap, Abraham, Nehemiah, David, the prophets, Paul we're reading about. But Moses might be one of the most powerful. And we did a series on Exodus. You can go back and listen to where the story came out. But many places it did where Moses, the intercessor, went before God to intercede for the people. In Exodus 32, for example, Israel sins, judgment is deserved, and Moses pleads with God for him to relent, to forgive. He stands between rebellion and mercy. That's intercession. But Moses also teaches another truth that I think is very important, that every human intercessor can get tired. We all can. In Exodus 17, there's a very important principle that comes out that said this, as long as Moses, they're in a battle, and it said, as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. He was interceding on behalf of the people before God in this battle. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses and they held up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Moses lifts his hands, but eventually he cannot hold them up. So Aaron and Hur stand beside him, holding up weary arms. That's intercession. Sometimes prayer sounds like words. Sometimes it looks like holding up weary people. Some of us, man, are called to be like a Moses today. Arms tired, faith trembling, unable to hold them up much longer, but an intercessor. And some of us in that find ourselves tired and are called to be Aaron and hers. And maybe it just kind of goes back and forth on who you are and what you do in this intercession principle. But we're called to hold up someone whose strength is failing. I'm sure there's plenty of us in here right now. Or it might be even you coming up this morning and getting prayer from one of us standing up here. Every intercessor needs intercessors. No one carries burdens alone. Prayer was not intended to be a solitary experience or burden. In Ezekiel 22:30, the prophet writes, from God, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap, be an intercessor in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. One of the sad things for God at that moment was he was looking for people to stand in the gap on behalf, not do something per se as much as pray for what God wanted to do. God is still looking for people willing to stand in the gap today. People who pray, people who hold burdens, people who stand with and hold up arms, people who refuse spiritual indifference. Ephesians 6:18, the writer would write these words, pray in the spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. This means that prayer guided by his heart, shaped by his will, and dependent upon his strength is important in our lives for ourselves and one another. I like what Walter Wink said when I was thinking of intercessors and interceding and what it does. And he wrote, intercessory prayer is spiritual defiance of what is in the way of what God has promised. It's good, man. Intercession says fear does not get the final word. Darkness does not win. God's kingdom is coming. But it's beautiful, we read, but it's difficult to do. Why? Because a lot of times I find myself being selfish. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done. But often I want my kingdom, my will, and my timing. Jonah illustrates that. Sometimes we want God's will for someone else or for something until it stretches our mercy, slows our timing down, or reaches people we struggle to forgive. I probably land there most often. God, I want to pray for this individual that they would find you, but could you punish them at the same time? Horribly. I mean, none of you in here or out there. So intercession requires surrender that I'm realizing. And I want to pause there for a minute in two ways. Surrender, right, to God on a personal level, and then surrender that part to the Holy Spirit. Like, I need to surrender some of the stuff that's going on here that keeps me from sharing, right? So it can be for someone where I need to surrender my own will, but I also need to surrender what I'm really feeling and experiencing to him. Not merely asking God to bless plans, but asking him to align with his purposes. Remember, when we don't know what to pray when it comes to purposes for someone else, I, with groaning or just knowing that he will translate, like, so when I pray for someone, it's according to his purpose. You're going to line that up, God, and I'm going to trust you in that. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. He knows what God promised. He knows God's will. He teaches us how to pray. David's coming. Just to wrap, you're not alone. Romans 8 taught us that creation groans, believers groan, the Spirit groans, but glory is coming. The Holy Spirit within us is a guarantee. We've read that multiple times. It was even in the verses today, a foretaste, a reminder that this world is not the end of the story. That when we don't know how to pray, we're not abandoned. When words fail, we're not forgotten. When suffering overwhelms us, we're not alone in it. That Jesus intercedes above us in heaven. The Spirit intercedes within us with everything that I'm feeling and experiencing. And the Father hears every sigh that we share. That means that heaven, God himself is not silent towards you, even when you're silent toward heaven. Because heaven intercedes for you, silence is never the end of the conversation. So maybe today you came carrying something too heavy to explain. Would you stand with me too? I wonder if there's a burden fear, a grief, a loss, some bit of suffering, a struggle where you feel stuck. And maybe back there, maybe it's not so back there, you're saying things and starting to believe, maybe if I was stronger, maybe if I just prayed better, God would answer. But Romans 8 says that your weakness is not where God abandons you, it's where the Spirit meets you. You don't pray alone. Jesus, the Spirit, intercede, and the Father hears. So God's invitation today may be, bring him your groaning, your sighing. Doesn't need to be polished. You do not need to religiously perform before God. Just bring him your sighs, your confusion, your waiting, your unfinished prayers. Stop hiding your weakness from him. It's the place he wants to meet you. You cannot impress him, the one who already intercedes for you. Like, maybe, this was good for me to just write and read through. The very place you thought disqualified you may be the place the Spirit meets you most deeply. So just for a moment, right there, what is it? And maybe God is inviting some of us to go beyond like that piece and actually to become intercessors ourselves. I'm not saying that means you're called to be some special intercessor. It's a whole nother conversation. But is there someone that comes to mind where they need their arms held up? We need someone to stand in the gap for them. Who needs your prayer? Maybe before this day ends, you could send a text. Hey, I'm praying for you. Is there anything that I can do? I'm sorry. Maybe it's make a call. Someone comes to mind. Maybe it's just someone, it could be in here or later on today. And we've talked about what the Spirit does. We've been talking about it in our witness class that we'll wrap up Tuesday about when he speaks, it's going to take a lot of things, but also risk. So maybe you'll meet someone today, tomorrow, this week. And you're like, hey, God, you feel the Spirit saying, I need you to pray for them. And it may be you just do it from a distance, or it may be that awkward place like, hey, you don't know me, and I know I look really weird right now, you know, as you walk up to them, but can I pray for you? Is there anything? And you trust that the interpreter has already been working and you're just joining God, what he's doing already. That same Spirit who prays for us teaches us to pray for others. And so, Father, today, first, if there is anyone here and there's just that deep groaning, they don't even know what to say, maybe they'll come up for prayer as some of our prayer partners are coming up and are available to pray with for a few moments, you know, during the next song. But there's something just stirring and going on inside. Some of that comes from the pain, the deep pain, or whatever it is, how they would describe that experience is, some sort of suffering, some brokenness, some death, some loss, a multitude of things they're experiencing, but they don't even know what to say, and it might be even coming up. Man, we've had it happen so often where someone is just sobbing and crying, and we don't even know what to pray for. We just start praying and just saying, Holy Spirit, you know what this person needs right now. Would you meet them right at that place, their deepest need? Let them know that they're seen and they're known. Wow, whatever you're working on in people, just continue to do that today and as we go throughout the day. Maybe it's making that connection with you, or maybe it's just bringing that to you, God, that they need to do. Not to hide it, but to just lay it out. And maybe right now we also just feel compelled to send a text, give a call, ask if we could pray for. So I pray that you would continue to speak that way as well. And then may we, as people called to intercede as well, would actually pray, would actually send, would actually speak. In Jesus' name, amen.